The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For more information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.
I would like to finish our thoughts on the Articles of Faith, which the last Article of Faith here in Macedonia deals with the prohibition of secret societies, and that reads, "We know from experience that no good can result to the church from any secret organization. Therefore, we declare non-fellowship with those who participate or engage in secret organizations." Now, we'd like to see that all type of secrecy and darkness is condemned because God is a God of light. He's a God of openness, and I want to look at it from that perspective. We certainly don't have time, or it's really not even prudent, to deal with each individual secret societies. But suffice to say that if there is a reason for secrecy, then there is something that's going on that would not stand up under the scrutiny of light being manifested in that situation, okay? And that's what we see in the presentation of God as light, and then when Jesus Christ as the light of the world, when he came into the world, his light manifested what was going on the whole time, but it was in darkness. And there's no need to deal in secrecy if everything that you do is upright and kosher and no problem with it. There's no need for secrecy. And the church is established on the principle of openness, not secrecy and a clandestine nature. When Jesus was brought in his first trial before Annas, who was the former high priest, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the current high priest in John 18, when the high priest asked him in verse 19, the high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. And notice Jesus' response. He says, "I spake openly to the world," and he says, "I ever," that means I always. "I always taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whether the Jews always resort, and in secret I have done nothing." The ministry of Jesus Christ was not done secretly out in the wilderness. It was not done in a corner. He said, "I came and I proclaimed my teachings." They asked him about his doctrine. He essentially says, "You should know my doctrine because I have openly proclaimed them in the synagogues and in the temple." And he says, "I have done nothing in secret." And the same is the case with the church today. We don't have anything to hide from the world. On the contrary, our light should be what is manifesting the condemnation to the rest of the world, that they should feel uncomfortable when they're around us, because if they're doing something that's not in accordance with God's word and we're letting our light shine, people are ashamed when they're doing things in darkness and light is manifested on it. That's just the way things are, okay? And that's what happened when Jesus Christ showed up to a corrupted Jewish nation that had been distorted the word of God, and they were living in darkness, but it was not manifested because the light had not been shown to manifest the wicked works that they were already doing. We'll look at that from John chapter 3. But I want to go to 1 John chapter 1, the epistle of John, in the first chapter, because the reason why secret things and things that happen in darkness, the reason why that is condemned is because God is a God of light. That is one of his divine attributes. Just as we saw from 1 John chapter 4 in recent weeks, one of God's defining attributes is love. I would say that's his chief defining attribute, especially since it's detailed as the first fruit of the Spirit. Another one of God's defining attributes is light. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." One of God's defining attributes is light. The important distinction between light and darkness is darkness is not just incompatible with light. It's not oil and water where they don't mix. It's the exact opposite. I mean, what's the definition of darkness? The absence of light. Darkness does not struggle with light. When the light's turned on, it's not a battle for the light to take over. I mean, it's just the exact opposite of light. And when light is shown on the scene, it's not a struggle. The light just overpowers that. And that's why there is no darkness in God at all, because if he is light, there is no darkness. Does that make sense? There can't be. If he's fully light, he can't have any measure of darkness, because they're exact opposites. Because when light is on the scene, there is no darkness. But notice he says, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You know, it's interesting. Even a child of God who has been bought and paid for and has been born again and been cleansed, they can live a life where they actually walk in darkness. What's interesting about that is the picture of our righteousness that we have been given by the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ is portrayed by white robes, right? Well, if you're living in darkness, I can say, first of all, it doesn't matter what color your robe is if you're in darkness, okay? You can still be clothed in a white robe and be in darkness and look just like everybody else. Why? Because you're in darkness, okay? What he's saying is, if you remain in the darkness, you're going to look just like the people in darkness. But when you walk in the light, you're going to have fellowship with God, who is the light. Okay? We'll come back around to that. But we want to see the essence of God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And we see God imposing his essence at the creation. So go with me to Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void. And notice, darkness was upon the face of the deep. The world was dark. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And notice, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Notice, there wasn't a struggle between darkness and light. Darkness was not trying to hinder its ability for light to take over. God just simply said, let there be light. And he just imposed his essence upon the darkness. And by the way, it was totally conquered. Isn't that such an encouraging doctrine that Satan, by the way, is associated with darkness? Doesn't it give you so much comfort to understand that there is no struggle between light and darkness? When the light shows up, darkness is evaporated. I mean, it's totally gone. And God opens his mouth and he says, let there be light. And there was light. God saw the light and that was good. God divided the light from the darkness. He called the light day, the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. You know what's interesting about this is, I was reading back through this, in day 4, which begins in verse 14, God says, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and for years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater to rule the day, the lesser to rule the night, and he made the stars also. He set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, to divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. Did you notice that light actually predates the sun? Did you catch that? That God said, let there be light on the first day, and there was light. But he didn't get around to creating the sun until the fourth day. And then I always love how he says, he made the stars also. Yeah. Oh, by the way, right before the day was about to wrap up, let me throw millions and billions of stars out into the firmament to where we can look at it. I think that's important to understand that light, now understand our heat, our light does come from the sun, but the light that God gave to this world predates the sun. And it predates the stars. And we definitely don't have enough time to deal with this in detail, but one of the reasons why scientists would like to say that the world is so many billions of years old is because we have these stars that are so many light years. What's it, like 186,000 miles per second or something? All right, now multiply that times a year. Well, that's a long way. And then they start measuring that by a light year. All right? So then, if these stars are supposedly so many billions and trillions of miles away from us, and it had to have taken so many light years for this light to get to us, then the world must be ever how many billion years old. Understand, light predates the stars, and light predates the sun, because God imposed his essence upon his creation. And he does the same thing in speaking life and imposing his light into a person who is dead in trespasses and in sin, who is in darkness. And we don't have any more ability. When we're dead in trespasses and in sin, we don't have the ability to reject the life that's given to us. But also, if we view ourselves in darkness, does our darkness have any ability to reject the light that God imposes to us? Of course not. Now understand that Jesus, when he came into this world, he was the light of the world. Why? Because he's fully God. And God's light in him is no darkness at all. So now we want to go to the Gospel of John, first chapter, beginning in verse 5. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. Notice this light is capital L light, that all men through him might believe. And he was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And by the way, the first verse of this chapter declares that this same Word, who is the same light, was in the beginning with God, and he was God. So it was this same light that said, let there be light.
Right.
The Trinity said it together. So this light now has come into the world. John came to set the stage and to be the forerunner for this light, to bear witness of the light. And then notice Jesus' discourse with Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and beginning in verse 19. Understand, we're told in John 8 and verse 12 and many other places, Jesus declares, I am the light of the world. So now in John 3 and verse 19, this is the condemnation that light is come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Why did these men whose deeds were evil like darkness rather than light? Because they did not like their evil deeds being exposed to public view. But then the light of the world showed up. And then they couldn't avoid it anymore.
Right.
Verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil, notice, hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. That word reproved means exposed. He's not going to come to the light. Instead, he's going to shy away from the light. Why? He understands that that light is manifesting what he's doing in darkness, and he's doing in secrecy. Verse 21, he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. The one that's doing the truth, he's not afraid of the light. Instead, he's welcoming the light. He's welcoming the light being manifested on my life. Why? Because he doeth truth. Okay? As I said before, there was a group of people who outwardly appeared very pious and very righteous. But when the light of the world came onto the scene, now understand, Jesus Christ, I guess you could say, when he showed up, he gave a new litmus test for what goodness and evil actually was.
Right.
Okay? Because these people were living in darkness and doing all these evil deeds beforehand, but they were not manifested until the light was shown upon the situation. But furthermore, it's just as cut and dry as the person who rejects the light is in darkness. So when Jesus came into the world, if a person rejects believing on Jesus Christ and denies that he's the Son of God, that is manifesting the dark condition of their own heart. But the opposite is true as well. That when they believe on the Son of God, that manifests the condition of the heart that they were already in already. But notice, that litmus test, if you will, that manifestation was not available in the Old Testament. But it was when the light of the world showed up on the earth. It manifests the secret and the things that are done in darkness that here are wholly characterized as evil. Now, briefly, we understand that the Word of God was inspired by God, so therefore it shouldn't be a surprise to us that Psalms 119 and 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Word of God is a light in our life. Why? Because this is God's Word.
Amen.
And then the preaching of God's Word, the preaching of the gospel, is also characterized as light. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10, to bring life and immortality to light. I always say the light switch of the gospel. And it's the preaching of God's word, and it's the preaching of God. And if God is light and in him is no darkness at all, then of course the preaching of the gospel and the preaching of the good news of Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, obviously is going to be light, particularly to those in darkness. Now, you're probably more familiar. We've quoted this a good bit. This is from the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus describes us as being a light of the world and then letting our light shine. This is the account of that that's probably the more common in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So again, we're not trying to do our deeds in secret. Instead, we desire for men to inspect our actions, to inspect our good works, because our desire for doing those good works is that they may see them and glorify our Father which is in heaven. If I'm doing good works and my goal is to glorify God, why in the world would I want to be done in secret? Because how is my God going to be glorified by my actions if my good works are being done in secret and men can't see them? But it's a lot different if those works are not that good, though. Okay? Now, that's the terminology that we're used to, but I want you to notice how this is worded in Mark chapter 4 and verse 21. Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. He says, the reason why I have given you this light is so that it will shine. Not so it be kept in secret, but for the purpose that it would shine abroad. That's the whole purpose of me giving you this candlestick. That's the whole purpose of me setting up my church here on this world for it to be a light to the world. To light the world. It's pretty simple, right? Now, we want to go to Ephesians chapter 5 and see this restriction of how we are commanded to walk in the light. Now, we've been made light in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been called out of darkness into light. We've been given that light in our own heart. The light is in us, and we simply have to let... See, Jesus Christ is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That means He's in us. He's in our heart. Do you understand that the light of the world is in our heart? The only thing we got to do is just get out of the way and let Him shine out, right? I mean, I don't have to actively get some flint and try to rub up some light. All I have to do is just get me out of the way and let the light that's in me shine out. Now, Ephesians chapter 5, we want to start from the beginning of this chapter because we need to get this context as we make our way to the middle of the chapter. So, Ephesians 5 and verse 1, be therefore followers of God as dear children. Walk in love as God also hath loved us and hath given Himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and uncleanness and covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For we know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, which is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. So after he gets done laying that foundation, he then says, be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. He says, you were in darkness. You were dead in trespasses and in sin, but I gave you life, and therefore I gave you light. And I love the distinction here. It's God that called us out of darkness into light, but now He says you need to walk as children of light. I made you children, but now you need to act like children. I called you out of darkness into the light, but now you need to walk as children of light. Verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame to speak even of those things which are done of them in secret. Okay? Talking about secret societies this morning. Notice he says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. What's the unfruitful works of darkness? Verse 3, fornication, uncleanness, covetousness. Verse 4, filthiness, foolish talking, coarse jesting. Verse 5, those that engage in these activities, a whoremonger, an unclean person, a covetous, an idolater. Now he says, don't have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Now, fellowship means this close, intimate communion. Now, we have to understand that we have an obligation as the light of the world to be kind and courteous to all men. This does not mean that you shun someone. When you see them on the street, you don't shake their hand or don't speak to them. This is talking about an intimate communion and bringing them close enough to you that they can affect you. In the Proverbs, it says, can a man bring fire into his bosom and not be burned? Something along those lines. Now look, there's nothing wrong with fire in its proper place.
Right.
But if you let that fire get in your lap, which is what that's talking about in that verse, you're going to have some problems. Now, what he's saying is you don't need to bring the fire into your lap, as it were. You don't need to be in close fellowship with us. We have to be balanced because we have an obligation to be the salt of the earth, to be the light of the world. Now, this doesn't mean that we shun people. Instead, we do not bring them into close communion and fellowship with us because we understand evil communications corrupt good manners. And we understand that they could affect us. Notice this distinction that the Apostle Paul made in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 when he's telling the church how to deal with an unrepentant sinner in the church. Again, it's important to have this balance. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9. I wrote unto you an epistle, notice, not to keep company with fornicators. That means don't be in close fellowship with them. Don't invite people like that in close communion into your house. Here's the balance, though. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, nor with covetous, nor extortioners, or idolaters, for then you must needs go out of the world. Okay? You can't live in such a manner that some people have taken this to such an extreme that I have to live in a monastery. I have to live as a monk where I have no interaction with the entire world. I want to tell you, that's the exact opposite of our calling, to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Now, there's other people, such as the Amish, that have viewed everything that has any form of worldly attachment as evil. But he says, if you think that you're going to be able to wholly avoid anyone that's ever committed this sin, you're going to have to go out of the world. You must needs go out of the world. But he says, you do not need to keep company with them. And he goes on in verse 11, but now I've written unto you not to keep company. If a man that is a brother be a fornicator, covetous, idolater, a railer, drunkard, extortioner, notice, with such an one know not to eat. Now, principally, he's talking about church discipline here, and this person should be removed from the fellowship, and they're not going to partake of the communion of the church.
Right.
Principally, but furthermore, on an individual basis. Now, someone that's living in this manner of sin, now we need, to the best of our ability, to not shun them to where we are continually presenting the Word of God to them and calling on them that you need to turn from this manner of life, but not to let them have close fellowship with us to where we're in danger of affecting our own discipleship. Okay? And what he says is, you don't need to keep close company with this people, and you don't need to eat with them, as it were. Now, going back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, for it is a shame to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Now, verse 11, at the end of that, it says, but rather reprove them. My center column reference says the alternate word for reprove is expose, manifest. So how do you then, by walking in the light, expose or reprove or manifest those that are doing these unfruitful works of darkness? It's by walking like your Savior walked when He was here in His ministry. It's by preaching and adhering to the Word of God and letting your light shine, because by you reproving them and you're letting your light shine, what are you doing? You're exposing or you're manifesting the unfruitful works of darkness. Now, there might be a child of God that's been purged by the blood of Jesus Christ that is living in a manner where you cannot distinguish between them living in darkness and a unregenerate person living in darkness. But understand, the person that's in darkness, that's not a child of God, is dead. Now, they're going to get, just like these unregenerated Pharisees got, they're going to get kind of hostile with you because they do not like their evil deeds being manifested. And furthermore, Jesus specifically said, the person that does evil, he hates the light. Why did this world hate Jesus? There's a lot of reasons, but one of them is because he actually exposed how wicked and corrupt these men actually were.
Right.
because he shined light onto the situation. So then, should it be any surprise to us when we let our light shine, when we let the light of the world that's in us shine out to the rest of the world? Is it any surprise that those who still have that same inner condition of those men that were in Jesus' day, that they hate us in the same manner? No, because those that are in darkness hate the light. They don't like being exposed to the light. The way that we reprove those that deal in these unfruitful works of darkness is simply by living a godly life and letting our light shine, and hopefully they will see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Verse 13, all things that are reproved, exposed, are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now, Scripture is not really in the business of making admonitions to people that don't have the ability to fulfill those admonitions. Okay? So when he says, arise, thou that sleepest, arise from the dead. Now, we understand that a person that's asleep, he's not dead. But from an external observer, he might look like he's dead. And unless you have a closer inspection of that person, or if you have a knowledge of them to know that they're not dead, they might look dead to somebody on the outside. Well, the same is true if the children of light do not walk as children of light. You can be a child of the light and still walk in darkness here in this world. Now, you're going to have a pretty miserable existence in the darkness. But he says, those of you that are in darkness, those of you that have the appearance that you're dead, you need to awake. And by the way, what is it that wakes us up in the morning a lot of times? It's the sunshine shining into you. It's the light that wakes you up. And when the light gets bright enough, a lot of times you can't stay asleep even if you want to.
Right.
Isn't that interesting? So he says, those of you that have been called, those of you that have been called out of darkness into light, you've been made a child of God. He says, now you need to act like a child of God. If you've been called in the light, you need to walk in the light. And right in the middle of that context, he specifically says, for it is a shame to even speak of those things that are done in secret. Because our Savior did not come into this world and have a secretive ministry. He came and he preached the gospel in an open, public manner that was open for inspection. Okay? And his life was inspected. And by the way, when he was actually brought before a trial, outside of Pilate just giving in to the mob mentality of the Jews, he was declared innocent at every single verdict. Okay? He was never declared guilty. He was crucified, but he was never even declared guilty. Okay? In like manner, if we simply let our light shine here in this world, there's going to be some people that engage in activities that they would much rather prefer to remain concealed in the darkness, that are not going to like when we let our light shine and expose what they do in secret. But you see, that is our commission here in this world, is to let our light shine. Because a city that's set on a hill, even if it doesn't act like it's supposed to, it still can't be hid. It's still set on that hill, okay? So our admonition, now that we've been called into light, is to walk as children of light. And because of that, we do not have fellowship with these secretive acts of darkness. Because, as I said before, if those works are truly good, why in the world, if this is an organization that does good, benevolent deeds, that you are doing good actions that are only good actions in the midst of that, why in the world would a child of God even have a desire to be a member of that? When my desire, my only goal here in this world until I die, is to glorify the Lord with every fiber of my being, and why, when I do good works, why would I desire for them to be done in secret when my Father in heaven would not receive the glory from other men because of that? No, I'm going to do my actions in an open, public manner, not in a prideful way, but in an open, public manner that men, hopefully, the Lord willing, may see my good works and glorify my Father which is in heaven. If we've been called into the light, we simply need to follow the admonition to walk as children of light.
We thank you for listening to today's message and invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For further information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.